So, hi guys. My name is Marcella. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm celebrating victory over nicotine addiction, and I'm struggling with family members and some addiction there. So, welcome. Welcome to Celebrate Recovery. Tonight, we're going to be working with Lesson 21, and that lesson is titled Relapse. It's we're going to work with Principle 7 and Step 11. So take a look at Principle 7 right there. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And this lesson's verse is from Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. I love that one. I love the simplicity of it. So as I said, I've been celebrating victory over nicotine addiction for about 2.5 years. Thanks. And occasionally over that time, persons would ask me, you know, how I did that. How did you do it? How did you quit? And for a long time, I didn't feel like I had a good answer. Even though I would say it was all God or it was faith, I felt that maybe that wasn't very helpful for someone, and I knew that wasn't what they were looking for, and I knew that because I had been there too. Seeing someone overcome that which was still running my life had me wondering, what did they do? What did you do to do that? And so tonight I want to talk about some actions that will help us prevent a relapse. And because, for goodness sakes, if you have managed to already overcome an addiction or compulsive behavior or habit, you want to keep it that way, right? We don't want to, you know, run that circle too often. So in order to continue down the path of victory and not fall back into the trap of addiction and compulsive behavior, we need to have a roadmap of successful actions to take. Pretty basic there. So because we know that the actual relapse behavior is just the last thing in a long line of thoughts and actions that led up to that moment. In other words, relapse starts a good while before the first sip or puff or whatever. It's more of a process than an event. So we're going to take a look at our acrostic tonight as we move through understanding this lesson, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, so just be prepared. It won't go directly in order, but I'll cover them all. And we will begin with the R, which is reserve a daily quiet time with God, and that speaks right to the first part we just read. So this lesson is about getting and keeping some space between you and the undesirable thing. You know, many of us are here for all variety of different reasons, so I want to just be open in that way. So I'm just calling it the undesirable thing you don't want anymore, whether that's drinking or drugs or smoking or any other kind of thing. So we, in that space between us and the thing, that's where we want to seek God and look for His guidance. We seek to see situations differently. We seek to understand ourselves and others through a perspective based on love. And when we dedicate time with Him daily, we tap into the power of God that's within us. By reaching out to Him, we gain insight into His divine will for us. Regardless of what has happened in your life, the Lord is able and prepared to bring you comfort and repair. You are loved, and your purpose is to love. So if tonight is your first night, and we're on relapse, and you're not, you know, your journey hasn't come along through the steps like we have, don't worry. I want you to hear that message, that the message of recovery and where these play into our life can apply to you starting right now. we take all comers here. You don't have to have any experience with God, with church, with any other recovery program for you to be welcomed into this family right this minute. And so I just want to make that really clear that, you know, you are well loved by God. And so you're in. You're in the sisterhood. You're in the brotherhood. So welcome. So in any situation where you seem to have no control, which, let's be honest, is every situation, just remember that God dwells within you, and there are no forces over which he has no control. Therefore, through his power within you, there are no mortal circumstances that you cannot overcome. That's what it means to be empowered. It's on the inside. Whenever your hard-won sobriety is in danger, whenever stinking thinking might be resurfacing in your mind, the Lord is ready to lift you out of that condition and return you to an abundant, loving state. We are usually the ones in the way. I am usually the one in the way. I'll speak for myself. The capacity for correction is built into the human spiritual experience by our loving God, just as it's built into the workings of a GPS. And if you want advice on what direction to take in life, we move down in the acrostic to the L, and we listen to Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "Test everything that is said to be sure it is true, and if it is, then accept it." So we go to Jesus at the first sign of disturbance, whenever you are weary, stressed, or lost. It's like this. If you've programmed an address into a GPS, but then take a different route, than it recommends, the GPS will automatically create you a new route. And so does God. Be assured that he can and will simply create a new route home. So listen for it. Turn down the radio for Pete's sake and stop talking. Just listen. My dad used to say, "Waiting to speak is not listening, Marcella." People who know me laughing. From a mind seeking the will of God, a mind willing to see things from the perspective of love, then love and healing will flow forth naturally into your life. Why? Because perfection is your eternal home. It's your eternal home, my friends, to which our Lord's universe is programmed to return you whenever you have deviated for whatever reason. That is how loved we all are. Next, we're going to plug into God's power, and that's the P in the acrostic. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers." The continual belief in love requires faith, especially when one is looking at the realities of the material world. It's easy to see the things of the world, the pain, suffering, the alcohol, the cigarettes, the drugs, the people. These are the things that we can access easily. But faith requires belief in what is unseen. Our problem is that we tend to have tremendous faith in our disasters, and very little faith in the power of God's miracles. Faith is not just a theological principle. It is an emotional and spiritual muscle. And as such, it needs to be exercised to be strengthened. And when we are struggling, when the pressure is building inside us, when we experience pain or we are suffering and the old us begins to urge us to put our faith in old self-destructive behavior. Just have that one cigarette. Just one drink. Just give that person the loan. They need it. Step back into that unhealthy relationship. That is the moment when we need just a little bit of space to wiggle in some faith and go to God. Just like a pilot flying on low visibility who cannot see the horizon, she does not assume the horizon has disappeared. At a time of low visibility, the pilot flies on instruments that can gauge the situation more clearly than she can. Faith is like flying on instruments. It's acting on the assumption that just because you can't see a possibility doesn't mean that it isn't there. Remember, God has the most accurate GPS in the universe. All of this is His, everything you see. Returning us to His highest good for us is programmed in. No matter how we twist and turn, He is ready to reroute us back to love. However, sometimes we can't really get any space between ourselves and the thing, the undesirable behavior. And that is where a sponsor and an accountability team come in. We call them immediately. Call them immediately. Don't stop dialing until you reach someone. Be honest about where you're at when you need to leave a message. So I'm going to say this to my codependent lady friends. When you're calling, don't call me and say, "Hey, I'm just calling to check in. How you doing?" and hang up. If you are having a crisis, be honest. Dig deep. Leave a message that says, "Hey, it's Marcella. I'm having a terrible, terrible day. I just want a drink, and I don't see any possibility of my leaving this office and getting home without stopping at the bar. I'm afraid to leave my desk. Call me back." That, I'm going to call you back instantaneously. I mean, that requires something of us, but that's the juice, you guys. That's how we come together. I know that's a difficult thing, but those are the kind of honest, real moments that can really bring us forward. That's a make or break moment. And we here in this program are committed to having that work. We come alongside each other, and that's how this works. So I just ask that you believe that you'll be comforted. Lean into the unknown and trust your instruments. Pardon me. Minor technical difficulties. So I recall a saying that my dad had framed and given me about faith before I moved away from Minnesota. When you come to the end of all the light you have known and you're about to step into the darkness, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something to stand on, or you will be taught how to fly. And I just think that's such a powerful way to think about the way God takes care of us. So we move now to the E, or back up the page to the E for evaluate. It stands for evaluate. And in Romans 12:3-17, it says, "Be honest in your estimate of yourselves. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other. Be patient in trouble. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable." Evaluation is, of course, a key piece to this lesson. Having faith is an important, necessary muscle to keep strong. But being able to accurately evaluate where you're at any given time is critical. Our evaluations need to include our physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual health. And we need to identify our triggers. Triggers are those things that we encounter, be they situations, feelings, or people, that bring up in us the urge to do the unhealthy, self-destructive stuff. A good place to start identifying triggers is with your inventory. If you've done an inventory, you can look through there and look for the patterns. However, if it's challenging to see those patterns, as it many times is, and it was for me, you can definitely ask to meet with your sponsor and have your sponsor help you identify the trigger points. But you want to get them into your conscious mind so that you can then proactively guard against those things happening. So I know that when I visit this one certain friend, and she's still smoking, it can be a real trigger for me. I started smoking with her all many years ago, and she was my party buddy and best pal all through my 20s. And I don't see her often anymore, but when I travel back to Minnesota, I do see her. And I need to gear myself up for that so I'm not caught by surprise on how I might feel. So I plan ahead on how to deal with it. And if it proves to be too much, I would just cut the visit short and I would leave. Probably call my sponsor from the car, too. So that's just one example of, you know, just planning ahead. So I'm going to go over a list of questions that you can ask yourself that can help you check in and prevent relapse. So if you want to write these down, you can. The number one thing I have written here is, but not the number one thing necessarily, is how is my body feeling? I know that when I get upset, my heart rate increases. My stomach gets all like twisty and awful feeling. Some people experience headaches or tense muscles. Do you feel fidgety? Are you suddenly lethargic? You know, drained of all energy? So these are some things that you can check in. Noticing how uncomfortable feelings might be overtaking your physical self can be a sign that you are feeling triggered. Another question is, are you doing your step 10 inventories? Bree talked to us about that a couple weeks ago. Are you daily checking in with yourself to see how things are going? Or are you allowing small little things to build up? And that's a road we don't want to go down. So when we keep everything cleaned up every day, we have a much clearer path ahead of us. And maybe do you have any amends to do? Do you have something that's hanging out there that you need to handle with someone? And are you serving? Are you serving in some way in our community? Getting plugged into service is one great way to be at stake for your new life. Helping others, loving others, allowing yourself to be used by God for both your good and the good of humanity is a powerful way to regularly see the value in both sobriety and walking a righteous path with God. I encountered a situation not long ago where I felt unappreciated. I had some expectations of an event being set up to appreciate me and my enormous goodwill and my daily sacrifice. Har har. This sounds like it's going to be a problem. It was. Things did not turn out as planned. Oh, no. I experienced the selfishness of others as a personal attack. I was furious and hurt. In other words, I was very capital V triggered, capital T. And I could feel it. I could feel it. I knew I had a big problem when I felt that old urge to smoke a cigarette over it. I was like, uh-oh. What's that doing here? And, you know, that would take the edge off the sting that my heart was feeling. The little voice told me, hey, I know what you could do here. Let's go have a cigarette. And I was like, ooh, mm-mm. I was sure that that would bring a lot of baggage with it, right? So I had to ask myself some tough questions in that moment. And the first was, is all this pain I'm feeling due only to this event? Because if it was, wow, was I overreacting. Whew. A distinct possibility, though, had to ask myself. Or was this old pain being triggered by a current event? Bingo. I quickly realized that's what it was. And I find when I ask myself, where else does this show up in my life? I almost always have an answer when I am really feeling it. So I quickly realized that was it, and this was a replay of many, many events in my, my childhood and young adulthood, where I had felt that the selfish and self-destructive actions of another person completely trumped any recognition that I could receive for positive, successful actions. Basically, there just wasn't a lot of reward for being the good kid. And it felt unfair to me. And suddenly I realized that even though I am 41 years old, in that moment, seething and heartsick, sitting on my bed, I was 16 again. I was a broken-hearted young girl who couldn't understand why negative behavior got so much reward. Read parental attention. While I was getting overlooked. It felt unfair, and I felt powerless. now, looking at it that way, my giant reaction to a much smaller event in a totally different context made a lot more sense. So there we go, trigger identified. But now what? Well, different action is required. I took it as a red alert that I wanted to smoke. For me, the cravings are like relapse alert signals. Ah! But I couldn't seem to shake off the feelings. I couldn't get off it, even when I knew that, and I was still just so mad and hurt, whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a walk. That was all I could think of at the time. Just going to take a walk. Well, okay, it was more of a stomp. It was kind of a stomp. So I stomped around my neighborhood for a while. And once I stomped off a little bit of mad and I could make a sentence, I called one of my accountability partners, and she listened and listened and listened. Oh, my long-suffering girls. My long-suffering accountability partners. I'm kind of a verbose girl. But when I had said it all and gotten some much-needed support, she'd assured me of my awesomeness, which was great. I needed it at the time. She reassured me, no, you're fine. I was finally ready to head back home. So I hung up the phone, but I sat down in the woods near my house, and I prayed. And I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving that I had been able to make a new choice. A new choice. Finally, Lord, thank you for delivering me from the same choices over and over that didn't work. And this, like, hey, taking a walk isn't going to start running my life. You know, taking a walk, feeling good, having endorphins, that was a benefit. And I was like, hallelujah. So I took a moment and I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving and a plea that I could be healed of this old wound that I realized I'd been carrying around. Always a little bit of a downside there to these realizations. I'm just going to warn you right now that as you heal, things come up, you look at them honestly, you realize what's happening. Now you got to work on it. But I came back here the next Wednesday, and here I am. So I just keep going around. But I want to be free. I want to be free of that. I want to be able to encounter a situation where somebody is doing something selfish, and it's not a personal attack against me, because it's not a personal attack against me, you know? And so I want to be free of that old stuff that sends me down that route. So that's the kind of business that we do in our alone and quiet time. That's sitting in the woods, praying and pleading and thanking. And that's the A in the acrostic. And Psalm 410 says it simply, be still and know that I am God. So the next thing is we slow down. That's the S. Slow it down. So that whole walking in the neighborhood, stomping around process took about an hour, maybe more. And we can't rush through recovery. That's a key thing. We do need to slow down. And yes, Americans, I'm talking to you, you busybodies. You don't have to be doing something productive to have value. You don't have to be doing something productive to have value. You are God's treasure. Right now. I think, in my humble opinion, that our society promotes mindless action. Do something, then do something else. Oh, work, job well done. You know, good day. And here's the reality. I could have smoked a cigarette in like 10 minutes. I could have had 10 minutes flat. And I may have temporarily felt better. But I would have kept going back, as I would have needed to do to keep those feelings pushed down, because that's what I was using it for. And voila, I would have been back to addiction running my life. I mean, it just would have gone just like that. No thanks. So take the slow path. Take the long walk. Have a lengthy conversation with God about your troubles. Ask for insight. And then be quiet and listen. Job 33:33 says, listen to me. Keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom. So the last piece is the E. Enjoy your growth. after all that heavy stuff, we get to throw in some fun. We're going to enjoy what we can. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, be joyful always. Right in the Bible. It says have fun, people. No, it says be joyful always. Pray at all times. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life and your union with Christ Jesus. That's the good news, right? Is the joy in Christ Jesus. So I found this quote in a magazine. It made its way onto my current vision board I have in my house. And it says, I believe that joy is a spiritual practice. I love that. I was like, yes, I do believe that. So choose joy. Just choose that. Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh at yourself. Wake up every morning and tell yourself that you will do all you can to create joy and ask God for the power to carry that out. See what happens. Celebrate your victories, both large and small, and don't forget to share them in your small group. Your growth will give others hope. So in summary, use these things as a guardian against relapse. Reach out to God. Exercise your faith muscle. Reach out to your sponsor and accountability team. And a word about making these your new friends if you need to. Plug into service. Plug in and serve. And do the work of recovery. Trust the process. Thank you. I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, Holy Father, thank you for this recovery program. Thank you for coming together with us, supporting us, and surrounding us with your love and light. We just ask that you work, Lord, in every heart in this room, that we can leave a little bit stronger, that we can come together and support each other with your divine hand right in the mix with all of us guiding us and leading us. We just ask that you lift us up, help us heal, and help us to be strong in coming back next week. Amen.